Lord God, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here with my friends. And Jesus, you showed us the way those that associated with you and walked with you, you called them friends. And so, Lord, I am blessed to be here with my friends. Blessed to be here in your presence, walking with you, talking about you. And Father, I pray that the message that I have to share today, it comes from your word. And so we want to do your word justice and accurately handle your word and proclaim the excellencies of he who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. We're thankful and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So this book I was mentioning to you, 20 different guys, 20 different people, some of them are ladies as well. Ladies, men, doesn't matter to God. He wants to be close to us. And he will draw near to us if we draw near to him. And so this guy that wrote this book, Raymond Edmond, he was actually a professor at a college called Wheaton College. Billy Graham went there. And he was, of course, in the Second World War, because his testimony is in the very last chapter of this book. And he talks about how that he was moving through France on into Germany as they crossed the Rhine River. He was tired, cold, and sick. And he thought, finally I'm at a place where I can just sit down and recuperate a little bit. Oh no, the first sergeant had a different idea. They said, Company C needs some people. Edmund, take four of the people and head over to Company C. They didn't know where Company C was. But they were once again back in the mud, treading towards this new destination. And Edmund said, I did not have the strength. I did not know how I was going to carry out these orders that were given to me by the sergeant. And so he went into a little side room, and he prayed. And here's his own, in his own words. I want to bring this. I want to catch it in his own words. While the others began to roll their few belongings into their packs, I slipped into an adjacent room. There alone, I knelt by one of the benches to pray, saying, Lord, I cannot go. I am so ill, so worn, with such sore throat and fever that I cannot go. And I do not know how far away C Company may be stationed. Then for the first time in my Christian life, as a young believer in the Lord Jesus, I was aware of a presence beside me. Nothing. I could see with outer eye or touch with the hand, and yet I knew he was there and that he said to me, I will go with you. That's what I'm going to talk about this morning. Having a personal presence with God. If you have never experienced this, I pray that you would seek it with all your heart. The first time I experienced this kind of presence was I was also in the military, almost exactly 25 years past this time. And there I was in a barracks. I was a corporal of the guard. I was stationed there to watch over the building while everybody else went on Christmas vacation. And while there, I spent time alone with God. I got on my knees before him. I don't even know how long I prayed. I just know how the prayer ended up. It ended up with me having tears running down my face and this warm feeling that just shot through my body. And I knew that there was something special that God had done for me at that moment.
Hallelujah.
And shortly after that, when people came back from their Christmas vacation, we had a bona fide revival in our company. And there were people coming to Christ left and right, and we had a prayer meeting that just kept on growing like this. God was doing something. In fact, God was doing something so powerful that Bill Jackson, on the second floor, he said, the whole army has a drug problem, but we don't have a drug problem here. Why? Because there's too many blank Christians. He was not happy with that. But God was doing something. And I can just say this, that God did something in my heart and in my life, and I continue to long for that presence of God. And I hope you will as well. You know, this morning you might want to pull out your outlines and follow along. But I want to begin just by talking about a few others that have had that personal experience with God. And we're in, of course, Hebrews, the 10th chapter. And the promise of God is draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Do you hear that, my friends? God wants to be close to you. He wants to be your best friend. Sometimes I hear people take the name of our Lord in vain. You know, oh, Jesus Christ. And I say, I immediately respond, I don't care who it is. Hey, I'm glad you brought the topic up. He's my best friend. And I begin to talk about Him. I don't care if they're atheists. I don't care if they're anything. Down at the Legion, they did it often. They got to the point where somebody would bring up the name Jesus, and they'd be in the arm and go, shh, don't! Because I will talk about Him at any place, at any time, because He has changed my life. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Look at some of these people here. Do we have some of them, Yoko? Maybe they're not. There we go. Look at Enoch. Enoch walked with God. Walked with God, and he was taken. That is, he was the first rapture. It shows you that God can completely change somebody's life instantaneously. And Enoch experienced that. Moses spent time with God, and his countenance began to shine. Have you ever seen people who you know, you have a contact with them, and you go, they've got to be a Christian. And you ask them, and sure enough, because their countenance shines. In Acts, the 6th chapter, it said that Stephen, as he appeared before his persecutors, it says that his face shined and he looked like an angel of God. I don't know how they knew what an angel of God looked like, but Stephen looked like one. Because God had transformed his countenance. Asaph realized that the nearness of God is my good. I keep on rolling that one over and over in my brain. The nearness of God is our good. It is good for us to draw near to God. Brother Lawrence, somebody from the 17th century, born in 1611, he became part of a monastery, but he became well known for an attitude. What I would say, in practice, and they simply refer to it as practice in the presence of God. And he talked about even during the worst times of the day when he was sitting there washing the pots and pans, he said, I should be just as close to God then as I am receiving the host at communion on my knees. Every time, every moment of the day, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Paul put it this way, pray without ceasing. Live in that attitude of prayer, and expect God to walk with you. Hudson Taylor, in a book called Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret, he revealed what it was. It was this, abide in Christ. Abide, dwell with Christ. My heart, Christ, home. Be at home with Christ. That's the secret. Robert Murray McShane, someone who the Lord took home in his late 30s, he said, there is happiness in holiness. You want to be happy? You want the joy of the Lord? You want to live at peace? Learn to do exactly what God wants you to do. Walk with Him in holiness. Jeremiah said this to God, you drew near when I called. You said, do not fear. You know, there's a lot of things happening in our society today that you can say, oh man, I'm just a little bit nervous. I can go through the list, but I'm not going to bother with it this morning because you know what I'm talking about. There are many things that are happening right now that have been happening the last 4 years. Then you go, wow, what is happening to our country? It's got to change. It has to change or we're through. I hope you understand that. It has to change or we are through. So, we draw near to God. David, he put this in the psalm. He said in Psalm 23, verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, all of these horrible things happening around me, I will fear no evil. If you stop there, you lose the reason.
because you are with me. Jeremiah knew the closeness of God. David knew the closeness of God. Stephen knew the closeness of God. Paul knew the closeness of God. My friends, it's time for us to draw near to God so that he will draw near to us. Just a summary of characteristics. Yeah, here we have. This is what God says. If you walk with me, if you know me, if you live with me, you will experience my peace. You will experience my joy. You'll have a changed countenance. You may not be able to tell the difference when you look in the mirror. I don't know, is something going on? But other people will see that there's a change in your countenance. Draw near to God. There'll be spiritual effectiveness as well. God will be able to use you if you're close to him. Think about, walking somewhere with your parents, your dad or something, and your other kids are around. And then they all take off, and dad says, oh man, hey, look, there's something that I need to have you pick up. If you're close to him, guess who's going to do the picking up? He's not going to say, hey, Susan, come back over here. There's something that needs to be picked over here. There's a dollar down here. She may come running. But the guy who's closest to him is going to get it right. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. And goes on to say, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Repent and humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. The nearness of God is your good. So it's no wonder that Asaph said that. And I hope that we learned it as well. The nearness of God is our good. So here in this passage in the book of Hebrews that we're going to look at this morning, Christ has opened a new way for us to draw near to God with confidence. And here's what it says. First of all, in the first reference, there's five times in the book of Hebrews where it says, draw near to God. Five times. The first time is found in Hebrews 4:16, and it says this, therefore let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Oh man, it is so good to draw near to God. Grace and mercy when we most need it. We can be confident of that. God promises, God provides. Paul said this, we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. Boldness and confidence through faith. Now we get to the passage of the morning. We should read this together. Are you guys up for that? Let's read it together. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Well, there you go. There's the points of my sermon this morning. 1, 2, 3, 4. And they come right out of that book. And so is the title, Let Us Draw Near. Well, how do you draw near to God? He's not going to keep it a mystery to us. He's going to tell us exactly how we can draw near to God. And notice, if you go back to that passage, he begins by saying that we have confidence to go into the Holy of Holies. That's the place only the high priest could go. But Jesus said, hey, now you're welcome to go in. You can go right into the throne room of God. You talk about scary things. That's scary. Isaiah went in, and it was holy, 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 and the seraphim were burning things off the altar, and Isaiah fell on his face and said, woe is me, for I'm an unclean man. I live in the midst of a people with unclean lips. And so the seraphim take and put a coal on Isaiah's mouth and says, now, go talk for me. That's the scary part. Because we see we're not worthy. We're only worthy because of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. And I hope that comes very clear in this message this morning.
We are worthy to come to God and get close to Him and experience this great, wonderful transformation only because of one thing. And it says it right in that passage. We have confidence because of the blood of Jesus. That's why. That's how. We have a new and living way. We don't come through our earned efforts. We don't come through keeping the law. We come in a new, and notice it says, a new and living way we come to Him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not dead orthodoxy.
Yeah.
It's living Word of God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Thankful.
We have part of the household of God as well. It says when you receive Christ according to 1 Corinthians 12:13, that the Holy Spirit takes you and baptizes you into the body of Christ. You're there. And now you're part of the household of God. What are you going to do about it? You're going to watch TV in the dark corners of the house? Or are you going to celebrate the living God in His presence? Let's do that. So let's draw near to God. How do you do that? Hebrews 10:19-22 tells us how we can draw near to God. Number one, okay, that's the conclusion. That's where we're going to. We're going to end up right here. All right, let's see. Back up to let us draw near. Number one on your outlines, draw near with a sincere heart. Draw near with a sincere heart. You know, I used to like to sing that song from Psalm 42, as a deer pants for water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's
strength and shield. You alone.
It sounds like some of you, it's also your favorite song. Oh, man.
My spirit yields.
I am so glad you guys are familiar with that song. Let me just say the key point of that. As the deer pants for water, oh, my soul pants, it longs for the Lord. What did Jesus say in Matthew 5? He said, blessed are you if you hunger and thirst for righteousness. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. He says, because you will be filled. That's a promise of Jesus. Mm-hmm. But it begins with a heart attitude, a sincere heart that hungers and thirsts for God. A close relationship with Him. So let's be sincere. Let's not be like the Pharisees and Sadducees. Remember what Jesus said? Not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to make it into the heaven of God. But only him who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. That's the only people who are going to make it. Some people say, well, I said the prayer. No, this is talking about a relationship. You get into heaven because you have a relationship with the living God. Now, don't keep him at arm's length. Don't stiff arm him. Embrace him. Say, Lord, I want to be closer to you. I want to love you like Jeremiah did, like David did, like Moses did, like Enoch did. I want to walk with you because you're in the right time when the Lord may take you. Let's be ready to go. Live for him. Have a sincere heart. You know, there were other people that didn't have that sincere heart. I think about in Acts 19. Remember the Apostle Paul went into Ephesus there, and he met some guys, or at least was aware of some guys, seven sons of a guy named Sceva. Seven sons. And they found people that were possessed by spirits. And they went out and said, we beseech you on behalf of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, that you leave him. And the Spirit said, I know of Jesus, I've heard of Paul, but who are you? And the Spirit jumped upon the sons of Sceva and tore them apart. You do not want to face an evil, somebody who's possessed with an evil spirit without the power of God in your heart and life. And if you do experience somebody, then you can say, depart from me, you wicked spirit. and they will have to depart if you do it in the name of Jesus. That's why in the Indonesian revival, it was the song was, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, Jesus. Satan will have to flee. In the name of Jesus, Jesus, who on earth can stand before? In the name of Jesus, Jesus, we have the victory. Let's do it. Let's draw near to Him. Let's have a sincere heart. And let's move on to the next point. Because Hebrews says not only having a sincere heart, but it also says that we need to have full assurance of faith. We're going to talk about that a lot more in just a couple of weeks, because we're going to be moving into the chapter called the Hall of Faith, which is Hebrews 11. But there's one verse in Hebrews 11 that just keeps smacking me all the time. Maybe it does you as well. Hebrews 11, 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must first believe that he is, and what? He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's one Greek word, but it is very clear. You've got to put effort into this. And God will reward you if you do. And he rewards you with closeness. Draw near to me and I will draw near to you. James 1 verse 6 says this, but he must ask in faith without doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. You've got to have that assurance of faith. And here's point B, that you have that full assurance of faith that God can do exactly what he says he will do. You know, we know that John 3:16, God is able to do that. That he loved the world so much that he sent his only beloved son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. We say, yeah, Lord, I know that one's true. Hebrews 10:22 is just as true. You can draw near to him if you have that assurance of faith. If you have that sincere heart. And then number three, if you have a clear conscience. Actually, Hebrews 3 says, a clean conscience. Where are we at here? Number three, yeah. Identify the things that stand between you and your God. Have you done that? Back in 73, I think it was 73 actually, there was something called the Basic Youth Complex, or the Institute of Basic Youth Complex. Some of you may have gone to that. It was a guy named Bill Gothard that was leading it. But one of the exercises that he had the participants participate in was to take a piece of paper and write out all the things that God brings to mind, things that you have done that have been unpleasing to him. Write out your sins on a piece of paper. And he encouraged us all to do that. I did. But he didn't stop there. He said, when you get that paper done, he says, write 1 John 1:9 across it. Mm-hmm. What does that say? If we confess our sins, he's faithful, he's just, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I don't know how long your list would be. Mine was long. And I came up from that knee experience from being on my knees and talking to him, saying, thank you, God. I need your mercy. I need your grace. Continue to do this work in my heart. It was so liberating. Liberating. Because it allowed me to have a clean conscience. A clear conscience deals with the past. It deals with things that have been bugging you, that are gnawing at you. Satan is really good to bring them up. You know that, right? The word devil means accuser. He's quick to accuse you of all the things that you've ever done that have been rotten. That's his job. The Lord Jesus Christ's job is to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You think God wants us to be unrighteous? You think God wants us to be just another one of the society? No, he wants us to be in his household, a beloved child, living for him, walking in truth and righteousness and justice. And he has some great rewards for those that do that. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. You know, the forgiveness. Remember when Jesus was dealing with, well, even the Capernaum caper, where they tore off the guy's roof to let down the guy in the midst of Jesus. And you remember what they said to him? What Jesus said to him? Son, your sins are forgiven. What? Wait a minute. He's lame. He can't even get him off the cot. You're saying his sins are heal him. That was the agitators. They were saying that. But Jesus began by saying, you just have to understand, your sins are forgiven. You have a new relationship with God. Now, take up your pallet and go. You got the healing as well. But more importantly was the forgiveness. I hope there's no one here that hasn't experienced the forgiveness, the total experience, the liberating experience of forgiveness. It is one of the greatest things that God can give you. I don't care what you've done. There is no sin that is so evil and so wicked that if we don't humbly come to him in humble repentance, that God won't say, it's under the blood. It's washed away. I forgive you. Hear that. God forgives you. Clean your conscience. Well, one last thing. If we are going to have this closeness with God, we also have to live a cleansed life. What does it say in the text? It's your bodies are washed with pure water. Why did he put it that way? Well, Hebrews was written to who? Hebrews. In fact, it was written in Hebrew. They were very much aware of the practices of the tabernacle and the temple. They knew that when the priests came in to serve God, they had to stop at the brass laver and wash. And in fact, before they could even start their priesthood, they had to be baptized. We call it baptized. They had to be immersed in water. They had to be washed. So here the author of Hebrews says this. You have a pure body because you have been washed. How have you been washed? You have been washed by Jesus Christ. Why have you been washed? That's what you should be asking now. You have been washed so that you can live for him who died for you. That you can be involved in serving him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. I can now serve Jesus Christ in a godly way because I have been cleansed. I have been forgiven. This just makes me want to draw near to you. Doesn't it make you want to draw near to him? My sins are forgiven. I have this faith that he's even given me the faith. I have this sincere heart. He's changed my heart. I want to be close to him. He's put me in his household. I have a cleansed body. Now I can serve him with everything that's within me. And so Jesus says this, if my word abide in you and you abide in me, you ask whatever you want, it'll be given to you. But he also says this, if you abide in my word, that the Father and he would come to you and they would abide with you. Spend time getting to know him. Spend time in his word. Thank him for the fact that he has cleansed your life so that you can now serve him. So this results, here we go, this is the last one, Yoko. Experience confident living. I would also say this, experience a changed life. Confident living was actually the last time I preached this topic. This one I just want to say, it's a changed life. When we come to God, he wants to change our life. I used to in seminary. I don't know if a guy in seminary wrote this song or somebody else did, but it went like this. He loves you just the way you are today, and much too much to let you stay that way. And when he's changed your heart from what you were before, he still won't love you one bit more. That is utterly amazing. But don't go into eternity without appreciating that. The fact that God has changed you. And rejoice in that. And then let us draw near to him so that he will draw near to us. In other words, let us walk with God. He's always with us. He's promised that. In fact, he says, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Whether you acknowledge it or not, he's with you. Drawing near to him simply means you acknowledge that relationship and you desire to walk with him. Maybe it begins with you talking with him, though, right? These times when I felt really the closest to God usually come when I'm experiencing either prayer and fasting or a really committed time of prayer to him. And then I go, oh, Lord, this is great. This is where I want to live. I want to live where I'm close to you. So we walk with him, we talk with him, we establish that relationship, and in addition to that, as Jesus invited us, we abide with Christ. He abides with us. We hide his word in our hearts so that we don't sin against him. In short, we draw near to God, and he draws near to us. It's a great pursuit, my friends. I don't plan on backing off of it. I hope you don't either. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Pray without ceasing. Walk with him. Talk with him. Abide in Christ. Hide his word in your heart. Let him continue to transform your life and to conform you into the image of Christ. That's what we want to do. Let's pray. Lord God, this is a message that every one of us need to hear constantly. Because the world continues to grab at us, to drag us away from you. And you continue to hold out your arm and your hand and say, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so, Lord, we pray to experience that rest, to experience that closeness, to let you shine in and out of our heart and life. Lord, regardless of what our physical appearance is, may they see Christ in us, the hope of glory. Lord, draw us near to yourself, I pray in Christ's name. Amen.